This podcast is supported by 23andMe.co.uk, a personalised genetic service available in the UK. The 23andMe genetic analysis is based on a small saliva sample. People in the UK can learn about their genetic information that published studies associate with conditions like blood clotting, cystic fibrosis, and even response to certain medicines. More information is available at 23andme.co.uk.
Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to this week's second edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and joining me for episode 111 is Steve Sippa. Steve, this week the Mets announced several new concessions at Citi Field for the 2015 season, including stuff from Chef Josh Capone, Rouse, and even more varieties of bacon on a stick, if that's the sort of thing you're into. So if you could add one concession to the Citi Field lineup, what would it be?
Well, being as that I'm very much a traditionalist when it comes to ballpark fare, I'm going to go with something that we were talking about earlier, camel milk from Trader Joe's.
Camel milk. I read about this, Ian Miller from Productive Outs posted something about a restaurant in Oakland that was selling it for like $19.99 a bottle or something.
Well, given the difficulty that it probably is to milk a camel, that probably is a fair price.
I am also a traditionalist when it comes to ballpark food. And, I mean, not that I probably won't try some of these new selections. I mean, anything with like short rib and Taleggio on bread, I'm probably going to eat at some point. But my main hope is that it will perhaps shorten the line at Shake Shack. At least a little bit. Because, when you know, who doesn't love Shake Shack? But who actually likes the lines at Shake Shack at Citi Field?
I can't say I've ever really had a problem with the line, which is, I guess, extremely lucky on my part.
But I would set up a stand that would only do Shake Shack Chicago dogs. Because I love Chicago dogs, and I love Shake Shack. When I stand through suffer through the Shake Shack line, and I get to the end of it, I can't just bring my... I have to have a Shack burger at that point. But if they made a stand with just the Chicago dogs, they would theoretically have a shorter line. I'd be all over that.
I'm surprised that they don't have some kind of express line with just the shakes or fries, maybe something.
You would hope. I'm sure you have figured out there that I would have gone for some sort of, like, cocktail
of course
stand. And I'm not going to lie, I'm drinking a Negroni right now, the first of the spring for me. I decided it was Negroni weather, so I also realized I didn't have gin and Campari, so I had to go out and buy those. And discovered that my local liquor store now has... I've started to see Left Hand Brewing stuff slowly trickle into the state, and now my local place has, like, all the varieties, so I'm very happy about that. And a little lighter in the wallet. But I just can't, like, go to a baseball game. If I'm going to a baseball game and having a drink, it's got to be, like, a beer. You know, like a clean lager or an ESB, or I mean, I guess like even a session IPA if that's more your jam. I just can't see like drinking a Manhattan at a baseball game. Maybe because I drink Manhattans everywhere else.
Got to keep business and pleasure separate.
This is episode 111 of Amazing Avenue Audio. Naturally, the hashtag Sandy's Mass Edition. As we catch up to 2011. We're going to run out of years soon, so I might as well just keep titling them until we get to, like, the Mercury Mets in episode 140 or whatever. There's not a ton to talk about. This is like an old-school one. There's not a ton to talk about. It's going to be 2 hours long, and I'm going to eat throughout the entire podcast because I just got off work. So we're definitely kicking it old-school for episode 111. But we will talk about Dylan G being named the fifth starter, though he hasn't been officially named the fifth starter. He's been kind of named the fifth starter. or Rafael Montero. We'll talk about the Juan Lagares contract extension that was officially announced earlier this week. And we'll answer your emails, and there's a lot of emails. So that's why it's going to be a two-hour podcast. I'm sure most of you aren't complaining, because you're still listening to us 111 episodes in. So kudos to you. We will kick things off with the discussion of the Mets' fifth starter situation. Second game in Atlanta. Looks like Dylan Gee will be taking the ball. Although as of right now, I don't think there's been an official announcement, which is kind of weird. And both Montero and Gee pitched pretty well this spring. And Montero was always going to have an uphill climb since Gee was the more established arm. And a guy the Mets still might want to conceivably showcase for a trade. So, Steve, is this something Mets fans should be upset about? Is this the right decision? Does it really matter?
I don't see any reason why anyone should be upset about it. I mean, if you're a real diehard Montero fan, you could be disappointed. But, I mean, G has shown in the past he's a perfectly cromulent fifth starter. And, you know, that a lot could happen in the season. And he might not even be around for very much longer. So if we could showcase him or something like that, get him a couple of more starts, maybe that sways some minds, I'm all for it. There's nothing really you're not going to see a major difference between G and Montero a couple of starts in the beginning of the season.
The argument for, you know, Danny Mano over Matt Reynolds, so it looks like Daniel Murphy will be ready for opening day. You know, sort of any 3 or 4 week thing if you don't think G is going to be long term. It's just not a big deal. I do have, I guess, and I agree with you on your face, it's not going to make or break the Mets season, really. But it does sort of fall in line with their consistent refusal to just play the potentially better player in a season where they're going to need some things to break right if they want to be competitive come, you know, September 1st, October 1st, and so on. So I'll go after that first. And I've soured on Montero. You know, as you see him at higher levels, you saw his struggles last year with control and in Vegas and in the majors, you sort of, you know, downgrade the ceiling a little bit, certainly. But it looks like, at least, you know, as stock as you want to put in spring training innings, I don't. But it did look like the command and control were back to where I saw him in 2013. And that's his calling card. And that makes him, the fact that he showed you that against major league hitters of various stripes, I think is valuable information when sort of evaluating who you want to go forward with. And that gives him, you know, maybe a little more upside than G this year. Again, it's not like a Syndergaard versus G or a Mass versus G situation, as we talked about on the podcast at length previously. But coupled with the fact that they're going to move him to the pen now, in all likelihood, and Terry Collins has said he might use him in late innings, so short relief type situations. You know, if G makes 6 starts for this team and it's May 15th, and Montero's pitching well in the pen, I don't think it'll be an issue necessarily moving him out of the pen, per se, though Syndergaard and Mats may have jumped the line at that point. But there's something to, you know, keeping a starter, keeping him stretched out if you plan on using him as your 6th starter. This will be his first sort of extended pen stay, so you can move him back and forth, you can stretch him out a little bit once you decide you want him as a starting pitcher, but, you know, those kind of things can be a contributing factor to arm issues, performance issues for pitchers. You know, pitchers like defined roles, arms like defined roles, and moving Montero, having stretched him out as a starter this spring, then moving him back into short relief, and then back into the starting rotation at some point, indeterminate point in the future, you know, it's maybe nothing, but it is a risk factor, I think. So if you think he's going to be the next guy up anyway, and you don't want to use him over G at this point, maybe you send him a AAA. They have a bit of, I don't want to say an embarrassment of riches, but they have other options in the bullpen now from the right side.
I don't agree with Montero going in the pen. I'd much rather just see him, just stick him in AAA and let him do his thing down there and call him up if need be. But thinking about it, his stuff is so-so, but a move to the pen would, emphasize his strengths. I mean,